territory of the Hunkaminam speaking Musqueam people. Nisiam Nisiaya, Thikum Queen Ansep, Hydra Siam Nisiam
Nisiaya, and the Sakuya Talitin, Homasqueam Mustail. Hello, everyone. My name is Stephanie, and you're listening to Season 6's All Access Pass on CITR 101.9 FM. I'm joined by my Accessibility Collective teammates, Arthi, Deepi, and Helena. Hope everyone is keeping it cool and staying safe. Today's show is going to be a fun one because we're going to play an interview with Vancouver's own Christina Sheldon. However, before we play the interview, let's go to our first song break. Deepi, what song are we listening to?
Thanks, Stephanie. Hi, everyone. Here's the song Lots and Found by Christina Sheldon.
Skipping, dancing across these stepping stones, awkward feet, eyes intense and focused, trying to find the beat. Tunnel vision stuns me as I yearn and attempt to. Skipping, dancing across these stepping stones. feet, eyes intense and focused, trying to find the beat.
Welcome back to All Access Pass on CITR 101.9 FM. The song you just heard was Lost and Found by Christina Jelgis.
Thanks, DB. Now we're going to get on to our show topic, which is the interview we have for you, and that is with songwriter and performer Christina Sheldon. Helena and Arthi, you two had the opportunity to talk with the local musician. Can you please tell us more about this person, and what did all of you talk about?
So we had the opportunity to speak to Christina Sheldon, who is a Vancouver-based singer, songwriter, and performer. During our interview, we really got to know about the kind of music she makes, her experience with her injury and disability, and what she has in store for the future.
We had a really great conversation with her, and I think Helena and I definitely have a newfound appreciation for Christina's music. So hopefully everyone enjoys the interview and gets a deeper understanding of who Christina is and what her music represents.
So hi, Christina. The first question we have for you today is, when did you first fall in love with music or go like, I want to be a singer like him or her?
Very young. I think I was, I don't know, 3 or 4. When did The Little Mermaid come out?
Cool. 90s.
I always bring this story up because it's the truth. I was watching Little Mermaid when I was a little girl, and I just wanted to like trade places with her and just be like, I'll be the singer in your underwater world. And ever since watching that movie, I wanted to sing. And so it was very early on that I fell in love with singing. And then I think it was in high school that I learned that I could pick up a guitar and start songwriting as well. Like really song, like properly songwrite. I'd attempted to songwrite prior, but it blossomed once I picked up an instrument.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I can definitely relate with the Disney princess inspiration, but I clearly lack the talent to continue on. So your music encapsulates indie, jazz, pop, and soulful music. So when did you fall in love with each genre, and which one is like your favorite or most down your alley?
I always struggle with genrifying my music or any music, to be honest, unless it's like very clearly in one category. And a lot of really good music sort of travels across the different genres. I guess the one that I love the most is really more of acoustic sound, when you're just sitting with your guitar and singing. And could be a love song, could be a hate song, could be a breakup song kind of thing, could be, you know, I really love that acoustic sound and just a pure song, right? And I don't know if that's considered folk I guess it could even be considered pop, but it's really just more the acoustics. Do you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Just you and your guitar or you and your piano or a ukulele and just singing. And I absolutely love that. That's my absolute favorite to perform. It's harder for me now with the nerve damage, but
yeah,
it's always been my favorite. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. And do you remember your first performance? If so, how was that and where was it?
Oh, well, my first performance probably would have been elementary school.
Okay.
I remember my music teacher thoroughly embarrassed me because we were doing, I think it was a Christmas show or something. And she actually stopped in the middle and said, and if you hear that angelic voice, that's Christina. I was like, oh, but I was too young to like, it just completely embarrassed me. But because I loved singing so much at that point that I was taking it seriously at the time. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's my first like actual performance. So I've been performing since I was a little girl, loved being in the core, in anything, any like choral groups or begged my dad to get me into vocal coaching. And so there was like a small group that we performed with there. I think my first performances, just Christina. It was an open mic night. Those are an absolutely fantastic way to start and dip your toe in the water. My first one was at a bar in Vancouver, in downtown Vancouver.
Interesting.
I think it was still an open mic night. It was definitely, it was a unique experience, and it was really fun to be on stage by myself, having to carry myself as an artist, and but thrilling and a lot of fun. I love being on stage.
So if you're comfortable discussing this at all, you know, you have a C4, C5 spinal cord injury from an accident. And how has this affected your music, your daily life, and, you know, how have you had to like overcome the struggles dealing with that?
That's a huge question.
Yeah, so sorry.
I could probably talk your ear off for an hour on that one. Yeah, when it first happened, I thought my career in music, because I prior to my accident, I had just finished off a year of basic musicianship studies at Douglas College with the intention to go on to Cap College and move into more of a jazz direction. Anyway, so that's where I was sort of going, and my career was sort of actually just sort of, it's hard to say taking off, but I guess it felt like it was taking off. I was being asked to join a lot of different concert, like people were a lot of different shows. Sorry, I told you guys before we started recording, I'm in a lot of pain. So, and this is in one way that my injury has affected my ability to do music, is I have a lot of pain now and it really can affect it. But anyway, it felt like my career was just sort of taking off, or just sort of going where I wanted it to go. And then I got into the accident, and I have a C4, C5 spinal cord injury. When I first came out of surgery, I was fully paralyzed with a 10% chance to walk again. And safe to say, I thought my career in music was over, because, even talking to, when I first came out, it's like when I was first very baby fresh, I guess my diaphragm was also weak. So even just trying to get out a sentence was actually quite challenging, and it took my breath away. So I kind of assumed at the time that singing was definitely going to be out. But time heals all wounds.
For sure.
And it took a long time though. So to heal physically, I think it technically took a shorter time. But to heal emotionally, it took me a good 3 years, 3 or 4 even, before I even started singing again. And even though I walk now, although with a permanent limp, and I have chronic fatigue and chronic pain, and I do have nerve damage down my left arm that I used to play the guitar. It was just me and my guitar on stage, but I can't really do that now with my guitar because my fingers don't really work so well. So it was a long time before I could even get even sing again, never mind, you know, try and actually make a career out of it. Sorry, this really is like a loaded question. I can still keep going. I don't know if you want me to keep just going.
Up to your discretion, absolutely. But that's really hard to share, and, you know, thank you for talking to us about it.
Yeah, you know, I don't personally mind, but I do appreciate the, you know, the kindness surrounding that. I think it's been long enough for me, and I'm at home enough with it that I can talk about it easily. But yeah, it definitely is a game changer in a million ways, and and it. I think that when it first happened, the biggest challenge was the way I self-therapized. I don't know if that's a word, like the way I took care of myself emotionally when I was hurt, when I was angry, when I was upset, was to pick up my guitar and start writing. And when the accident happened, that was the biggest, worst, most crushing thing that had ever happened to me. And I couldn't do what I would normally do to make myself feel better. In fact, trying to do it made me feel worse because I would try to pick it up and I couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. And it killed. It was probably one of the more painful things I've been through emotionally. Not being able to play my instrument and to sing with it. And it hurt. It really, really hurt. So that was probably one of the hardest things, yeah, that I had to go through.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that with us. I know it can be hard, so thank you again. Do you have a favorite or a meaningful song? Do you have a favorite one?
You know, I don't think I've actually been asked that, or if I have, I don't recall being asked that.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Yeah.
That's, you know, honestly, that's really hard for me. I don't know about other songwriters, but they all mean an incredible amount when they first come out, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
They're almost like children. Like, how do you pick your favorite?
I know. Yeah.
Is there some that you kind of like a little more than the others, but you don't really ever say it because, the song I wrote, I guess a couple of years now, time really flies. Lost and Found is definitely probably one of the, if I could say, like by a smidgen kind of thing, is probably one of the more meaningful songs for me, because what I like about that song is that it's sort of about trying to make it through on this unstable landscape. And I'm hoping with that song that I've written it in such a way that it can be identifiable by other people. So I know what I wrote it about, but I'm hoping that other people can listen to it and feel it on their end in a similar way. And I also love it because I get to belt out, and I kind of love belting out.
Yeah, that's really beautiful, honestly, the way you say that. Thanks. Kind of tying something you mentioned before, but you said you went to college to study music. So how was that experience? Do you have any like fun stories from those times?
Yeah, well, I only went for a year. I was working, God, I miss having a body that could do that. I was working 25 hours a week and going to school full time.
Oh my God.
Yeah, because my dad didn't want to pay for it. He wanted me to do a practical career. Mm. And so, I was also living on my own. So I had to work my butt off to be able to do what I loved. So I was kind of just nose to the grind, just trying to work as hard as I could. I made some really great friends there. Great friends that, I suppose I don't talk to them as much now, but I actually years later, ended up in a band with one of my college schoolmates, and that was a fun experience because I'd never been in like a band before. Mm-hmm. I'd always done music by myself, but I was actually in a band, and that was a fun experience. And he is an exceptional drummer and a really good guy, so it was really neat to make such, you know, deep connections with people that you can, you know, years later still get together without an issue and make music together. I think that was probably one of the better parts of the college experience for me.
Yeah. Would you ever consider working in like making music in a group again?
Depends on the group.
Yeah.
Okay. I've definitely made, I've learned some things. I can't say enough about how awesome each guy, each of those people were in my band. But the genre wasn't right for me, and the loudness of the band wasn't right for me. It was really more of a rock kind of prog rock band, and they did allow like ballad stuff, but I could never hear myself.
Yeah.
and I would strain my voice like mad trying to like hear myself. And when you do that, you fall out of tone so easily. You lose your tonal quality so easily when you can't hear yourself. And it's probably some of the worst singing I've ever done on stage, because I just couldn't hear myself. I don't understand how people do that. And anyway, yeah, it was a lot of fun, but it was definitely not the right genre for me. So if I were to do a band again, I would love to do a band again, actually, but it would definitely need to be the right genre and the right, yeah, I'd need guys, that people that weren't, didn't like to turn up the volume so much. Yeah. Our bassist, he is like one of the most talented bassists I've heard, but he loved to turn that volume up. And just, it just got too loud for me. So I need a band that was more comfortable with the lower volume setting, or just a, you know, a mix where the vocalist was on top.
Yeah.
And not somewhere in the middle.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay, so we know you have released some covers of songs. So who are your biggest inspirations when it comes to other artists?
I always struggle with this question. I always wish I could say like really great big names, and then really any singer-songwriter kind of vocalist is my jam. Sarah Bareilles, if I said her name right, I always forget her last name.
Oh yeah, she's great. I
forget the pronunciation. So my apologies because she's phenomenal. She's just like, she's creme de la creme. Like, I honestly thought that Celine Dion was one of the best vocalists I'd ever heard. And then I saw Sarah Bareilles in concert at the Rio. Uh-huh. It was a small little acoustic show, actually. And she, perfect. I thought she was a robot.
Really?
Yeah. It was incredible, because I kind of thought, as like a singer-songwriter, I don't know, when you see people in concert, one of the neat things is you almost see them a bit more humanized.
Mm-hmm.
And not that I want people to screw up, but it's, I don't mind when people screw up a little bit, because it's like, oh yeah, you're human too. That's cool.
She didn't make
even the tiniest sort of mini mistake anywhere. She's just a phenomenal vocalist. But that probably is just, you know, a testament to how hard she works, and that she, you know, she's just worked that hard and practiced that much to make herself pristine, which is incredible. But yeah, so as a vocalist and a songwriter, she's definitely someone I look up to for sure, without a doubt. And if I could ever be even as close as to as talented as her, then I mean, I'll make it. And then, I'm trying to think. Oh, jazz really is a big influence for me. Like, I know earlier you sort of asked like, what's my favorite genre, and I left jazz out, but it's definitely a big influence. Ella Fitzgerald is like,
mm-hmm,
the queen, the goddess. Yeah. She's effortless, just beautiful. And I love that jazzy way you just sort of sink into the melody and the song, and you know, you just, the voice just sort of floats through it, where, yeah, you know, more classical training is quite rigid, and sure, you get beautiful sound out of classical training, but there's something about that jazz where you just it pulls the soul. Anyway, so jazz, yeah. And like Ella and any of the greats there, Louis and Ella, I have their one of their records, and I have a lot of records, but I play theirs like constantly.
I would too if I had their records as well.
Oh yeah. It's really good. It's just, it's classic. It's, and it's hard to get sick of those songs.
Yeah.
Because they're just too good.
Welcome back to All Access Pass at CRTR 101.9 FM. The audio you are listening to is of Arthi and Helena's interview with Christina Sheldon. We will play more of that interview for you shortly, but we need to go into another sound break. DB, what song are we listening to next?
Thanks, Stephanie. Here's the song, Endless Breath, Christina Sheldon. It is a live acoustic song. Welcome back to All Access Pass on CITR 101.9 FM. The song you just heard was Endless by Christina and Sheldon. It was a live acoustic song. And now back to you, Stephanie.
Thanks, Stevie. Before the song break, we were playing you an interview with Vancouver's own songwriter and performer, Christina Sheldon, who was kind enough to chat with our accessibility collective teammates, Arthi and Helena. We would like to play the remainder of that interview for you.
So you mentioned Ella, Louis, and Celine Dion, but growing up, were there any other artists that you really loved or constantly listened to?
Yeah, Mariah Carey, especially in her earlier days, like her first album, and I think maybe her second, but then she started to get a little bit too pop for me, I guess.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I mean, but she is an incredible vocalist, and so I sort of aspired to her as well. So I think it was like major vocalists that I found myself attracted to. And so what I grew up with was like Celine Dion and Mariah Carey. Those were my two main vocalist artists. Oh, and Whitney Houston, obviously, like, because they were just so good vocally. And when I was younger, that's really what I wanted to be the most, just like a really great vocalist. And then, later on in high school and you know, my early college years or early adulthood, it was definitely more singer-songwriters Ingrid Michaelson, yeah, and Sarah McLachlan was a big one for me. Women who sing strong and sing ballads and stuff were also very important, I really enjoyed them as well. Jules, You Were Meant for Me, beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Some Dido. It was very girly. Frou Frou, who is also, she had another, she went by another name as well. I really liked her. She had such a unique, she was definitely a bit different than what I normally listen to. And I like that. I like that difference, that sort of funkier change. And I liked how that, like, it's inspiring to sing a little different and do things a little differently. And then in my early 20s, I started clubbing, and I fell in love with house music and EDM. I never really liked EDM, which is like straight electro noises, but house, which had a lot of really great vocalists in it. You could have very jazzy house, like literally have like jazz sounds in it, and it's still, but just still at the house beat, which I believe is like 120, 125. And then it sort of developed into chill house. Chill vocal house is sort of one of my favorites. And I think that's sort of what pop is kind of turning towards now. Because, you know, pop sort of turns its eye
at different
genres. So, and I think it's turning its eye at chill house now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I've noticed a lot of songs that I had been putting on my playlists are actually getting played on radio stations now, which is kind of cool. So I'm actually hoping to write some more songs, because I actually never really wrote like that before in that way, but I'm not a producer. I always wanted to, I want to do more songs like that, which would be really cool. So that's actually what my most recent song, Dancing with the Flames, which isn't released yet. It'll be released in the next couple of months on Spotify and all the streaming services. It's sort of me attempting to go that way.
Ooh, that sounds cool, though. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how well I succeeded, and I'm really nervous to let this song out because it's different from what I've done, and I don't know if people are going to like it. So just fingers crossed, I guess.
Yeah,
so,
and
it's very exciting.
Thanks.
Yeah. So how's the song creative process for you, and how long does it take usually?
Yeah. So, I learned that everyone is different. Usually for me, it tends to be really quick. I get inspired for whatever reason. Either something happens to me, or I just get this feeling and I just gotta. And I usually say that it's the muse is trying to work through me, and I'll start fiddling with an instrument, like the piano or my ukulele, because they're the easiest. I can't play them great, but they're I can play them well enough that I can write a song.
Mm-hmm.
Figure out like a chord progression, then I'll start humming along with it. Then I'll start singing some words, and the words just sort of, I don't know where they come from. They just sort of come out almost fully formed. In a way, it just sort of happens. Like my brain just goes, this is where the words are supposed to be. And within like 5-10 minutes of starting to sing it, I have the song.
That's insane.
Yeah, it just falls out of me. It's the weirdest, coolest thing. where the song just sort of like tumbles out of me. Usually I struggle with the bridge. but other than that, yeah, most often if I don't include a bridge, yeah. And mm-hmm. So that's generally the style that I write. The problem with that style is that you don't write unless you get inspired. And if you want to mm-hmm. be a songwriter and you want to keep writing music, you have to write anyway. I went to this art show once where there was a Q&A with the artist afterwards, and somebody asked her, like, what do you do when you're not inspired? Like, what do you do? And she says, well, I have to paint through the dark. And I loved that. I thought that was a really concise, apt way of saying it, because yeah, when the muse is on, it's like everything's bright and glowing and you're just going for it. And then, you know, when the muse is not there, it's black, it's blank, and you're just groping around going, well, there's no music here. Like, and, but I love that. And I've been really trying to employ that myself, and picking up an instrument, even when I'm not feeling inspired or feeling something special, and just trying to write something anyway, because I think that a lot of talent can come from that. And Lost and Found actually was a song that was written, was not written my normal way. It didn't just fall out of me. And arguably it's one of the better songs I've ever written. So I really think that sometimes having the longer route of like painstakingly trying to figure out a chord progression that you really like, and maybe only finding like the verse chord progression or just the chorus progression, and then you're stuck there and you actually have to leave it and come back to it and then work more on it. And I find that really, really hard, because if I leave it and come back to it, by the time I come back to it, I'm not in the same headspace and I'm not in that same zone that I normally need to be in to let the song come out. And so it was definitely a challenging new experience for me to try and keep coming back to this song and keep writing more of it. But what was also cool is that I couldn't let it alone, which is also a first for me. Sometimes when I start a song and I can't come back to it, then honestly, the song dies. But this time I just kept pushing and pushing and pushing, and until the song finally formed itself. And that was kind of like, aha, I got you moment. And yeah, arguably one of the better songs I've ever written. With this newest one, Dancing with the Flames, that will be coming out. That one was actually written with people, which is, another really actually surprisingly fun way to write. I thought it would be really, really hard trying to mix ideas with people. And I suppose it really depends on who you're working with. But if you work with open-minded people who leave their ego at the door and don't mind, like, you can't be too attached to any particular thing that you put in there, because it might get pulled. And as an artist, that's also very hard, because we tend to be very attached with what we create. Yeah. But I was surprised at how fun it actually can be to write with other people. And as long as I let that part of my ego, you know, quit it and go play with another ball in another corner or something, and then I could just work with people on making a song. It's actually a lot of fun. So that's how Dancing with the Flames was created. It's actually not just my own song. It was co-written with two incredibly wonderful, talented, badass women. I say badass because Carolyn always says badass. And so Carolyn Quinn and Laura Smith, they wrote the song with me, and Laura Smith produced it, and Carolyn vocally produced it. So she really helped me with the vocals, which I enjoyed a lot. She was vocal coaching me at the same time, sort of really worked. We could kind of really tweak my voice specifically for the song, which helped a lot, which was really cool. So yeah, I guess I do all the ways now. I used to only write through the muse, and now writing the longer way and writing with people. And there really is value and beautiful results with every form, I think. It's just, yeah.
Kind of just jumping off of that, do you have like a specific muse when you mean the muse? Or is it just like a feeling?
It's a feeling. It's an ephemeral thought. I just say the muse because I don't know what else to call that feeling, that experience. Because I don't know why I can do it. Especially for those, it's not like you work at it. At least, mm-hmm. I mean, in a sense, you do work at it, because by playing your instrument and practicing at any point in any way, you're working at it.
Yeah.
And just writing down and doing poetry, you're working at it kind of on the sidelines. So you are still creating the muscles to do it. But it still feels a little otherworldly. It's the neatest feeling to just suddenly have it all come out at once. And yeah, so it's just an ephemeral thought, sort of the muse. Like, I kind of understand why the Greeks used to talk about muses, and maybe there is like some sort of muse god or goddess hanging out of my shoulder going, do that.
It's like your personal like superpower, which is really, really cool.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
Other than music, do you have any other interests or hobbies that you like enjoy in your free time?
I actually do love to paint as well. Ooh. I'm not good at it, but I just enjoy it. I like to read. I like watching Netflix way more than I should.
Relatable.
Yeah.
It's just too easy to just relax and like zone out and let your brain kind of just melt. But it's also kind of important to do sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, just anything creative, honestly, will get my juices going and makes me happy. Creating anything is just an awesome feeling.
Cool. And if you could master any musical instrument, like in 5 minutes, that you have never touched before, what would it be?
Oh, that I've never touched before.
Maybe you've touched it, just never played it properly.
Well, I've never played the piano properly. I'd love to master it. I'm very beginner piano. I know chords. I don't know how to play piano. So if I could say that one, that would be that one for sure. I would love to master playing piano.
No, I'm trying to think of
any other instrument that I could play that I could songwrite on. Or that it could be fun to like, I don't know, like the flute.
Like Lizzo.
Yeah, did she? Oh, yeah. Because for that exact reason, because then you can kind of play it in your songs, with your songs, yeah. Or the violin.
Yeah, the violin.
Oh, yeah, maybe the violin. Something like that could be really cool.
Since you've released your first self-titled album, what are your future projects that are like coming up? So we know about Dancing with the Flames.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you said that, because I didn't even realize that I'd actually released an album. I mean, I put up songs that I had self-recorded and done in home studios, and I just put them up on my website just as an example of the kind of singing that I could do. And then other people were telling me, oh, I thought that was an EP. And I was like, what, really? They're like, yeah, I totally thought that was just your, you know, your first little album. And I was like, I never thought of it that way. Oh my God, I really did, didn't I? I actually already released something.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess my goal is to release a full long play, like a full album, like a 10 or 11 song album. That's my goal. I've never done that before. And even though I have those songs recorded and they can definitely be considered like an EP, a short play, I want to write a full length album before I die and just have that, whether it goes anywhere or not. It's just something that I'd really love to do. So that's where Dancing with the Flames has just begun, was me just starting to try that. And the world has changed a little bit. We don't, unless you're like super rich and under like Sony Records, like under one of those, what am I trying to say? A record company or record deal or whatever. You don't come out with a full length album anymore all at once. You only come out with a few songs that are a song at a time and then release it on the spot, on the streaming services. The music industry is definitely changing and not to the betterment of paying artists. But that's a whole nother thing. I'm basically trying to do that. My goal is to get out a full album and have that. And then at the end of it, even if I do let the songs out one by one by one instead of as one full album, the goal is to have an album at the end of it that I'd like to have like an album cover for. And I could even make like a CD or something and like a hard copy, of my album.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, that's definitely a bucket list goal for me. So that's what I really want to do.
Yeah. So how the pandemic is affecting you and what are you doing to pass each day?
Oh, the pandemic is such a pain in the butt.
Yeah, I agree.
It's been challenging for me, honestly, not just because of the pandemic, but because of my own other things. We touched on my disability, but my disability really has been a factor in my playing music a lot because it does make it more difficult. It is more difficult for me to write. I can't play instruments well enough to be on stage by myself. I have to always have a band, or backing tracks, which is like a hiss, grr, growl. Don't use backing tracks. That's just karaoke. And like, the problem is like, I have no choice. Like, it's like I'd love to just sit here and play a guitar, but I don't have that. So I kind of have to have backing tracks. And I even bumped into that recently in a disability format where I was asking if I could use my backing tracks, and there was a specific grant for people with disabilities, but it was supposed to be live music. And so I technically couldn't do it. And I kind of did it for at least one song anyway, and still said, like, this is actually my assistive device. Like, I have to use this. I know that it's not. So in that way, I'm going to be kind of breaking the rules, quote unquote, of live music by having backing tracks, unless I can get a band. Because don't get me wrong, I'd love to play with other people, but that's not very easy to do. Because there's just not enough money in it. And like, everyone has their own project that they're working on, and then time, and then being able to pay, it just gets very complicated. It's not very easy to just be like, hey, you want to play with me? Sure, let's play. And then have it actually be viable and worth it for everyone. Anyway, and then this year, I don't know why, but actually over the last few years, my pain has been increasing slowly but surely, which is really putting a dent in my, my productivity.
Yeah.
And this year was especially bad. The beginning of this year, it kind of came to a head and I landed in the hospital.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Fortunately, I've now been getting way better help. It sucked that I had to hit the hospital for me to finally get the help that I needed.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be a sad way our system works, is that you have to completely break down and hit rock bottom before people believe that you're actually not doing well. now I'm getting help, but it also meant that this year was especially bad for me. So my productivity has been real low. And then with COVID, and then, you know, the mental health issues that kind of come with being forced to stay home and never not being allowed to see people.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a challenge for me this year, for sure. And I'm certain for a lot of other people as well. And I'd like to just say that oh yeah, I'm great. Like I'm powering through and I'm doing great. It's been really hard, and still trying to make a song and produce the song has been incredibly difficult. And I am so stoked that the people that I'm working with were wonderful and kind and understanding, and you know, they still worked with me and we still got the song made, which is just phenomenal. I can't thank these ladies enough. It actually ended up being an all-female team this time around, which was really cool. So pandemic has hurt my productivity, and it's been a challenge. I did still, ironically, still make the song in the beginning of the year with the pandemic, but it was, yeah, it hasn't been easy.
Yeah, for sure.
But I guess just even any day that I do feel like I can, I try. And I'm really trying to push myself recently because I noticed that I haven't been doing enough. And so I'm like, okay, Christina, come on, like touch your piano, touch your ukulele. Even if you don't do anything, just pick it up, touch it, and try and paint through the dark.
Last but not least, is there anything else you would like to say to our CITR All Access Pass listeners? Anything you want to end on?
Well, if anyone has been listening to me music, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. I do have my new song, Dancing with the Flames, which is going to be released sometime within the next couple months, I believe. I don't have a specific release date yet, but it will be soon. The song has been finished and I just have to get that process going. And stay safe, have fun, enjoy your music, and try and paint through the dark.
Yeah. Thank you so much for speaking with us today.
I should say that as well. Thank you very, very much. Thank you guys for having me on the show, and again, also being wonderfully kind.
We honestly can't wait to show your music on the show.
I really appreciate it. The support means everything to me. So thank you.
Welcome back to All Access Pass at CRTR 101.9 FM. The audio you were just listening to is of Arthi and Helena's interview with Christina Sheldon. Arthi and Helena, thank you for the interview. It is great to hear Christina is continuing her music despite having a bad accident years ago.
Yeah, and even on the day of the interview, she wasn't feeling too great. She was feeling a lot of pain. So it's great that, you know, she was able to still talk with us, and we got some really interesting things, and we hope you enjoyed it.
So Christina was really nice. I could relate a lot to her. Like she was really happy, like while talking, and it was really interesting hearing how she found in music and in her art a way to express her struggles and also find the strength to move on. And
for sure.
I find it very inspiring that, you know, when someone has overcome, like has dealt with some things in their life that are really, like, really bad, that they overcome it by playing music. And I think that's very inspiring.
Yeah, and I think what's really great is that she was super excited about all the new things that she has coming out soon. So that's, you know, there's a lot of the growth for her still. Like she still keeps going. And that's really great.
Yeah, more power to her. Mm-hmm. And thanks so much, guys, for interviewing her.
Yeah, it was a pleasure.
Yeah, it's fun.
Awesome. Okay, so back to you, Stephanie.
Thank you. And that wraps up our episode for today. Hope you all enjoyed it.
If you're interested in joining our team or think there's an issue we should bring up on our show, please send us an email at accessibilitycollective@citr.ca.
Special thank you to Christina Sheldon for chatting with me and Arthi.
Please like our All Access Pass Facebook page.
If you're on Twitter or Instagram or both, please follow us at access_CITR.
If you missed part of our live show today and want to listen again, or maybe you want to listen to our past shows, you can do so on CITR.ca by going in the search box and typing All Access Pass.
Thank you for listening. Stick around for more CITR programming coming up next. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
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 Andre! Andre! The ice cream man is coming! The ice cream man is coming!
You're listening to
CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
Ice cream man, ice cream man, can I have this? I want this over here, and a toast on by my father, and give me this ice over here, and vanilla cone. Thank you, ice cream man. Thank you, ice cream man.
They try to make me a bum, but I was born.
This is Janelle from Anybody's, and you're listening to CITR.
Okay.